to be aware that you don't need to live in fear and terror, but you do need to explore your options and try and expand the ones that are person to person and local, and actually have a meaningful interplay versus, you know, sucking up to big corporations or letting them control your news feed and your buying habits, and then use that information to profit off of your existence.
It's about building up your local community and shopping with independent retailers. And that's the biggest advice I would give people having problems during this time. We are running short on time. So, Barth, thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you very much for calling in. Appreciate you. You know, you've been listening today to PDX Progressive Talk Radio. We are substituting for regular Wednesday talk radio. We'll be here next week as well. My name is Moses Ross. I'm here with Sherry Morish, and I want to thank you very much, Sherry, for being here and helping facilitate this today.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And to, of course, our listeners. You know, it's all about you, and it's all about our local communities. And you have, we'll see you next week for sure. And this is Moses Ross signing off.
And Sherry Meredith, Morish, have a great day.
To the ends of the earth.
You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland.
KBOO's Metal Marathon, the Metal March, is back once again. And that means brand new metal merch. Go to kboo.fm/metal to check out all KBOO's new metal merch, featuring exclusive artwork provided by local artists and musician at Unicron Artworks. This year's Metal Marathon is live on KBOO, Friday, March 14th at 8 p.m. through Saturday, March 15th at 6 a.m. Get your very own limited edition 2025 Metal March Metal merch and listen to every installment of the Metal Marathon at kboo.fm/metal and support metal on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Tune into KBOO every third Saturday at 10 p.m. for Query. Dive into the spectrum of queer music as we explore artists across time and genre.
It's on my mind every hour of every day.
That's Query every third Saturday at 10 p.m.
The things we could do, oh, it takes my breath away.
Here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
And I lose control, think I follow
home. Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope.
Hi there.
Thanks for joining me. On this show, we are diving into the idea of emotional shape-shifting, or adapting our emotions and behaviors in different social situations. Have you ever found yourself slipping into the role of mood manager? Filling awkward silences, lifting a heavy atmosphere, or shifting your tone just to keep the peace? Maybe you've walked into a room, scanned the emotional temperature, and instinctively adjusted yourself to fit in, smoothing out discomfort like a social glue stick. If so, congratulations. You might be what I like to call an emotional shapeshifter. The person who intuitively adapts to meet others where they are. Sounds like a superpower, right? And in many ways, it is. This kind of emotional adaptability can build connections, ease tensions, and make you the go-to person for support and social harmony. But here's the catch. When does being flexible turn into being too flexible? At what point do we stop adjusting and start erasing ourselves? Think about it. Constantly mirroring other people's moods can be exhausting. If you've ever walked away from a conversation feeling emotionally drained, like you just carried the weight of someone else's energy, you're not alone. As a self-proclaimed shifter, I want to know, is emotional shape-shifting simply a form of empathy, or is it a close cousin of people-pleasing? And more importantly, how do we keep the good parts of this trait while setting boundaries that protect our own emotional well-being? Today, we're diving into the art of emotional adaptability, when it's a strength, when it's a slippery slope, and how to find the balance between connection and self-preservation. I was talking to a friend of mine about this idea, and I referred to myself as the goo. Sounds weird, but think about it. Goo fills empty space. Ever notice how you become a slightly different version of yourself depending on who you're with and where you are? This isn't about being fake. It's something psychologists might call emotional shape-shifting, and it's actually a normal part of human behavior. It can be defined as the process of adjusting or changing your emotional expression to suit different situations or people. It draws on our own capacity for emotional regulation, the ability to control or moderate our feelings, and an emotional mirroring, where we unconsciously mimic another person's emotions to connect with them. In other words, it's like being an emotional chameleon, instinctively adapting to the social environment to blend in or put others at ease. Why do we do this? Part of the answer lies in emotional intelligence, which is our ability to understand and manage our own emotions and tune in to the emotions of others. People with high emotional intelligence often read the room and sense what others are feeling. Without even thinking, you might dial down your excitement in a somber setting or amp up your enthusiasm when everyone else is excited. This is also linked to empathy, feeling with someone, and that mirror we mentioned, which is actually a social skill that helps build rapport. We often adjust our tone or vibe to match those around us as a way of saying, I'm with you. Another perspective comes from social psychology. We all wear different hats in life. You might behave one way as a professional at work, another way as a friend, and yet another as a parent or sibling. In psychology, there's a concept called self-monitoring, and those who are high self-monitors are often dubbed social chameleons. They have a knack for presenting different versions of themselves depending on the situation. This sounds negative, but it's not inherently a bad thing. It's a sign of social adaptability. In fact, adapting to fit different group identities or social roles is a natural part of how we function. Social identity theory tells us that we navigate multiple group memberships, shifting our behavior to meet the norms of each group. So when you slip into serious mode at the office, then goofy mode with old friends, you're not being hypocritical. You're subconsciously aligning with the expectations of each context. Emotional shape-shifting might sound fancy, but once you recognize it, you'll see it everywhere in everyday life. Here are a few totally relatable examples. Different tones for different folks. Think about how you talk to your boss versus your best friend. With the boss or a new client, you likely keep your tone polite, calm, and professional. With your best friend, maybe you're more relaxed, loud, or silly. You're still you, but you've shifted your emotional presentation to fit the relationship and setting, probably to ensure the conversation goes smoothly. matching the room's mood. Ever walk into a room that's super quiet and serious? You probably lower your voice and tame your energy without even deciding to. It's almost automatic. But if you walk into a buzzing party or a family gathering where everyone's laughing, you'll likely perk up, smile, and join in the excitement. We naturally mirror the atmosphere. It's our way of syncing up with the people around us so we feel comfortable together. Catching emotions like a cold. Emotions can be contagious. If you're chatting with someone who's stressed or upset, you might start feeling a bit of it too, responding in a gentler, supportive manner. Later, you talk to a friend who's bursting with good news, and suddenly you're excited and happy for them, even if you were tired moments before. In each scenario, you've shifted your emotional state to connect with the other person, often without realizing it. It's kind of amazing how we can go through a dozen mood changes in a single day, depending on who we meet. Professional versus personal masks. Imagine you had a rough morning. Say you spilled your coffee on yourself or got stuck in traffic. By the time you get to work, you're frazzled. Yet when a coworker or customer asks how you are, you muster a smile and say, "I'm fine," in a cheerful voice. Here, you're consciously regulating your outward emotions to stay professional and positive. Many of us put on this kind of emotional uniform for work, then sigh with relief and maybe vent a little when we get home. It's shape-shifting in action, adjusting our emotional display to meet the expectations of your role. All this raises a question. How much do you shape-shift emotionally in your own life? You might not even notice it until you start looking for it. Do you act or feel one way with certain friends and another with others? What about home versus public? It can be eye-opening to realize the many emotional personas we cycle through in a day. Okay, are you ready to discover how much of an emotional shape-shifter you are? Let's do a fun little self-reflection quiz that will help you evaluate your tendency to adapt your emotional expression in different situations. So get a pen and paper or your notes app on your phone. For each question, choose the option that best describes how you typically behave. Don't overthink it. Go with what feels like you. Are you ready? Number one. When you meet a new group of people, how does your vibe change, if at all? Do you A, try to blend in completely, mirroring the group's energy and tone so you fit right in? Maybe B, you adjust your vibe a little to match the group, but you still sprinkle in your own personality. Or maybe C, you stay mostly yourself, making only minor tweaks to be polite or respectful of the group's mood. Or D, you remain exactly the same as you always are, no matter the group. What you see is what you get. Let's be honest here. Number two, a close friend is feeling really down and venting to you. What's your reaction? A, your mood drops instantly too. You feel blue with them and mirror their sadness to show empathy. B, you become more gentle and sympathetic than usual, but you try not to get completely pulled down emotionally. C, you listen and offer support while staying calm. You empathize, but you don't fully take on their sadness. And D, you comfort them with words, but your mood stays unchanged. You're sad for them, but you don't actually feel down yourself. Number three. At a lively party where everyone is super excited, but you arrived feeling tired, what do you do? A, feed off the crowd's energy and become just as enthusiastic. It's like flipping a switch and your tiredness is gone. Party on mode. B, after a little while, you perk up and engage more than when you arrived. The excitement is contagious, though you're not the wildest one there. C, you mingle and smile, but keep a calm presence. You enjoy the atmosphere, yet you don't force yourself to match everyone's high energy. And D, you stay in a low-key mood, maybe finding a quiet corner or having one-on-one chats. You don't really change your energy level just because it's a party. Number 4. In a work meeting where everyone is serious and formal, how do you behave? A. You immediately match the serious formal tone. Your posture, voice, and expression all shift to mirror the room's gravity. B. You tone it down a notch to be respectful, more serious than usual, but you still sound like you. C. You maintain your usual demeanor, making sure to stay professional, but you don't dramatically change how you'd normally act. Or D. You remain completely yourself, casual style and all. You don't feel the need to adopt a different tone just because others are serious. Number 5. Someone tells you, you seem like a different person depending on who you're with. How do you feel about this observation? A. You agree proudly. You consider it a skill to adapt whoever you're around, like a social chameleon. B. You shrug it off as true. You know you change a bit in different situations, but hey, doesn't everyone? C. You feel slightly concerned. You try to be consistent, though you admit you might act a little differently with different people. D. You're surprised or even disagree. You believe you're the same no matter the context, and you don't think you change at all. Stay with me. We have 3 more. Number 6. If you're chatting with a friend and their energy suddenly shifts, they go from excited to quiet or vice versa, you A. immediately mirror them. You crank up your excitement or dial it down instantly to match their new mood. B. Slightly adjust your energy in their direction. You follow their lead a bit, but not all the way to their level. C. Notice the change and stay supportive, but you keep your own natural pace. You might acknowledge their mood without fully joining in. Or D. Carry on as before. Your energy stays consistent. You figure they'll normalize, or that it's fine if your moods don't match. Number 7. When visiting a place or family that has a very different emotional style, say they're way more exuberant or reserved than you're used to, you A, adapt ASAP. You consciously match their style so you don't stick out. When in Rome, do as the Romans do, emotionally speaking. B, adjust a little to be respectful of their style. Maybe you're a bit more exuberant or toned down than normal, but you won't fake it too much. C, respect the difference and maybe tweak tiny things, like being slightly quieter if they're more reserved, but mostly you just act as you normally would. D, don't change a thing. You bring your authentic self in full force, believing it's more important to be genuine than to blend in with a different emotional norm. Number 8. Thinking about your typical week, how often does your emotional expression depend on who you're with or the vibe of the group? A. Constantly. You're a total shapeshifter. Your emotional tone changes all the time based on the people around you. B. Often. You notice you adjust your emotions or expressions with different people or groups pretty regularly, though not every single time. C. Occasionally. In some situations, you might tweak your emotional tone a bit, but for the most part, you're fairly consistent. Or D. Rarely or never. Who you are is who you are. Your emotional expression stays steady no matter who is around or what the situation is. So let's break down the results of our quiz. Now, take a look at which letter you chose most frequently, or which description felt most like you. Here's what your tendencies might say about your emotional shape-shifting style. If you found yourself picking a lot of A's, you're likely a strong emotional shapeshifter. You have high adaptability in your emotional expression, almost like an emotional chameleon. You easily tune into others' feelings and vibes, which makes you great at empathizing and making people comfortable. However, be mindful of the potential downsides. Constantly shifting your emotions to suit others can be exhausting, and you might neglect your own genuine feelings. There's also a chance of sliding into people-pleasing territory if you're always molding yourself to what you think others want. Remember, your adaptability is a strength, but it's okay to let your true feelings shine through. If your answers were a mix of B's and C's, or if you couldn't pinpoint yourself to one extreme, you're likely a balanced adapter. This means you know when to shift your emotional tone to connect with others and when to stay true to your authentic self. You've struck a fine balance between adaptability and authenticity. In social settings, you can read the room and adjust when it feels right, but you also have a strong sense of you, and you don't want to hide it. This balanced approach often leads to healthy interactions. You're flexible and genuine. You likely avoid the burnout of constant shape-shifting and the social friction of never adapting at all. Keep honoring that inner compass that tells you when to blend in and when to stand firm as you. If you picked a lot of D's, you might be a low adapter when it comes to emotional shape-shifting. You rarely change your emotional tone for others, and what you feel is what you express, regardless of the crowd. Authenticity is your priority, and people probably see you as steady and genuine. You're not easily swayed by group dynamics or social pressure. In fact, you might pride yourself as being the same you in every situation. There's strength in that consistency, but be aware it can sometimes make social situations trickier. For example, others might perceive you as aloof or find it hard to connect if your vibe never budges to meet them halfway. You might occasionally struggle with social cohesion, like fitting into group moods, but that doesn't mean you have to change who you are. It's all about finding a comfort zone. You can stay true to yourself and still gently flex it if it helps build understanding with others. Take a moment to reflect on your result. Do you feel comfortable with your level of adaptability, or do you want to adjust how you respond in social situations? There's no perfect style. Being a social chameleon isn't automatically better than being steady as a rock or vice versa. What matters is that you feel healthy and authentic. If you're feeling drained from constantly shape-shifting, you might experiment with letting your true feelings show a bit more. If you're very rigid and find it causes disconnects, you could practice tuning into others' vibes just a touch. Ultimately, understanding your emotional shape-shifting tendency is the first step. You can choose to embrace it or make small tweaks so your social interactions feel more genuine and balanced. No matter where you fell on the spectrum, self-awareness helps you navigate relationships in a way that feels right for you. When you struggle with people-pleasing, knowing where the line is tough. How can you be engaging and supportive without going too far? How can you care without caring too much? Emotional shape-shifting is closely related to empathy, the ability to feel and respond to what others are feeling. But it can slide into people-pleasing, which is a more problematic behavior pattern. It's important to distinguish the two and locate the line between caring for others and neglecting yourself. Empathy and adaptability. At its best, adjusting your emotional tone to match others is a form of empathy and social intelligence. You're essentially saying, "I see where you are emotionally, and I'll meet you there." This can be incredibly validating for others. For instance, if a friend is anxious, your calm presence can soothe them. If they're excited, sharing in their joy amplifies it. This responsive empathy fosters trust and intimacy. It's a conscious, healthy choice to accommodate someone's feelings temporarily out of understanding and kindness. But when it becomes people-pleasing, the trouble comes when the habit of accommodating others becomes automatic and compulsive. When you feel you must shape-shift in order to be liked or valued. A people-pleaser has an excessive urge to satisfy others, even at their own expense, often believing their own needs or opinions don't matter. They might alter their personality or hide their true feelings around others, thinking it's the only way to be accepted. Unlike genuine empathy, which is situation-specific and doesn't cost your identity, people-pleasing is more of a chronic pattern driven by fear or rejection or conflict. As one article puts it, people-pleasing is not an act of benevolence or pure kindness. It often stems from a deep-rooted need for external validation and fear of displeasing others. In short, the motive differs. Empathy is about understanding someone, whereas people-pleasing is often about earning approval or avoiding rejection. Does that make sense? Let's look at self-neglect versus healthy compassion. There is a fine line where high empathy tips into self-neglect. Healthy emotional adaptability means you can share in others' emotions without constantly suppressing your own. You might choose to lift someone's spirits, but you also feel free to be honest when you are the one in need. In contrast, a people pleaser consistently ignores their own feelings to cater to others. Psychology experts note that people pleasers struggle to say no and often agree to things they don't want to do. They may pride themselves on being nice, but inside they may feel exhausted or unfulfilled. Over time, this can lead to resentment, a clear signal that the line into self-neglect has been crossed. Empathy should not require martyrdom. As the saying goes, don't set yourself on fire to keep others warm. If you find that adapting to others always comes with guilt, anxiety, or a loss of self-respect, it's veering into unhealthy territory. It helps to check in with your intentions. Are you adapting your mood because you genuinely care and choose to, or because you're afraid not to? True kindness and compassion are voluntary and don't detract from your well-being. People-pleasing, on the other hand, often involves guilt and compulsion. You're acting out of fear or being disliked or guilt about saying no. For example, empathetically listening to a friend's troubles, even if you adjust your mood to be gentle and supportive, is a healthy response. But if you always pretend to agree with everyone or constantly play the clown to make others happy while you feel hollow, that's self-eroding. Remember, empathy includes empathy for yourself too. Maintaining that balance is crucial. So think about this. Emotional shape-shifting sits on a spectrum. On one end is healthy empathy and adaptability, a give and take that oils the wheels of social life. On the other end, toxic people-pleasing, a one-sided sacrifice of self that can lead to emotional harm. Being aware of your motivations and feelings can help you stay on the right side of that line. Are you starting to see where your behaviors fall in the spectrum? For me, it really depends on the situation. Sometimes I adapt naturally, and other times I catch myself slipping into a version of me that feels a little too polished, maybe even too accommodating. With certain people, especially those I've known for a long time, the expectations are already set, making it harder to break the cycle. But in newer relationships, I feel like I have more control, more freedom to set the tone. And yet, there I am again, adjusting, shifting, showing up differently depending on who's in front of me. It's a strange realization to be so aware of yourself and yet unsure of how to fully reconcile it. How do I bring all these different versions of myself into alignment? How do I rebalance my relationships so they feel more true to who I am at my core? People pleaser is not a medical diagnosis or a personality trait that psychologists measure. Instead, it's an informal label people use to describe a variety of behaviors. A desire to people please can manifest in many ways. A person may find it hard to say no to requests, regularly take on extra work even if they don't have the time, often overcommit to plans, responsibilities, or projects, avoid advocating for their own needs, like saying they're fine when they're not, avoid disagreeing with people or voicing their honest opinion, go along with things they're not happy about to avoid